I'm Roby Brock. Welcome to the program. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. Let's run through some of the biggest business and political headlines of this last week. Home Depot said it will hire 270 employees in Little Rock as part of an 80,000 nationwide hiring spree. The Atlanta-based home improvement chain said that it expects a big uptick in business this spring. About 125 employees at StarTech Call Center in Jonesboro will be laid off as the company closes its operations on May 12th. Company officials characterized the call center closing as a, quote, strategic business decision. StarTech opened the center in 2008 and has ratcheted down its operations in 2012 before the latest round of layoffs. Pediatrics Plus said it will establish a new state-of-the-art facility in Russellville in order to expand its services. Pediatrics Plus is undergoing a $4 million acquisition and renovation of a 23,000-square-foot space. Additionally, Pediatrics Plus will hire 50 new jobs in the region. USA Truck recorded a fourth-quarter loss of $4.6 million, including one-time charges of about $1.5 million that were related to a hostile takeover bid. Overall, for the full year, USA Truck saw its net loss shrink to $9.1 million. That is down from $17.6 million in 2012. In politics, it was a busy week at the state capitol as lawmakers debated potential changes to funding the private option. To renew the bipartisan health care plan, funding must pass with a 75% vote in both chambers of the General Assembly. Debate will continue next week. Congressman Tim Griffin says he'll enter the Republican primary for lieutenant governor as he leaves Congress. Griffin announced he wouldn't seek a third term in Washington earlier last year. Also, former GOP gubernatorial candidate Deborah Hobbs said she would also pivot to the lieutenant governor's race, abandoning her run for governor. Representative Charlie Collins, a Republican from Fayetteville, said he'll drop out of the lieutenant governor's race and seek re-election to his House seat. Republican Representative Andy Mayberry and Democrat John Burkhalter remain candidates in the lieutenant governor's race. And we will talk much more about some of those political headlines, including the lieutenant governor's race and the private option in the fiscal session, when we come back from this word from our sponsors, Democratic strategist Michael Cook and Republican strategist Clint Reed with Impact Management Group. Join me for a conversation. I'm Roby Brock. This is Talk Business and Politics.
Talk Business Arkansas is sponsored by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. Bank of the Ozarks, you have a friend here. More information at bankozarks.com. The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, we serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. Our mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent anti-business legislation, regulations, and rules. Learn more at ArkansasStateChamber.com.
The fiscal session, the private option, the governor and lieutenant governor's races. Plenty to talk about in politics this week. I caught up recently with Republican strategist Clint Reed with Impact Management Group and Talk Business blogger and Democratic strategist Michael Cook. Let's begin with the fiscal session. All things center on the private option and what's going on up there. We saw some amendments proposed this week by a couple of different legislators to try to find a way to get that magic, maybe one more vote in the Arkansas State Senate. I think we have a graphic here that pulls up what some of these amendments that were proposed. prohibit state advertising of the private option plans, eliminate the Navigator program to help qualified citizens enroll, request a series of federal waivers for HSAs and copays. Are these proposals the best ideas ever created, or, I mean, are we talking about sheer genius here, or are these the worst ideas ever created, Clint?
I'm not sure they're either of the above. I think folks right now are trying to feel their way through the session, what can and cannot be done, especially within the policy debate, but also within the political debate. You know, there's, I think what's being done so far is setting up a very big week next week with the session. I think it's very close. If I had to call it today, I think, you know, it's one or two votes either way, as it was in the last session. I think what's remarkable about all this is the private option had good support coming out of the regular session. I'm not sure what happened, but I think a lot of folks went away, decided that things were in good position. Then you had the federal government rollout of Obamacare, mm-hmm. which was a debacle that everyone knows about. And I think they're in a tenuous situation. So I think it's a big week next week. A lot of it's people just trying to feel their way through what can and can't be done. That's
worst,
my opinion.
Worst ideas ever or genius from a political strategy?
It's not the best ideas. I mean, the first two, to have this major state program but not tell anybody about it. Let's not have any programs to make sure the people that who need this help, let's don't tell them about it. Let's keep it a secret. Probably not the best option, but I do agree with Clint. People are trying to figure out how to fix this problem or the situation. The problem, though, I think, is we already fixed it. We were here a year ago. We came together, Democrats, Republicans, came up with a great idea how to, you know, get the working poor good, affordable health care. And then now, a year later, we're refighting this debate that we did a year ago. And I blame the Republican Party for putting us in this mess of, you know, the nation has literally taken some of the models that we've done on Medicaid expansion, the private option, and using it in their states. But now we're wanting to go back and get rid of it because you have some Republican legislators who just don't like Obamacare, which, although in some ways this has nothing to do with Obamacare, in some ways, of course, it does.
So Democrats do seem unified in their support of the private option. The split is obviously within the Republican Party. So why is it so teetering in terms of Republican support? And can you kind of assess, Clint, is it a 50-50 split within Republicans, or do you think it skews a little bit more one direction or the other?
If you look at the Republican caucus in the House and in the Senate, if I remember right from the regular session, a majority of the caucus, Republican caucus, voted for the private option. That was before the rollout of Obamacare federally, the website debacle. What you're seeing here, in my opinion, is politics at its purest. There is this policy debate that's going on, but we've also got an election cycle in which we've started, which is starting to blur the lines on a lot of different things. Anything that has to do with Barack Obama, it's unfavorable. If you look at the electorate at large, he's about 65-70% disapproved job approval, probably the same percentage unfavorable. So when you mix in Obamacare as a part of the private option, right or wrong, I mean, obviously we could all have that debate of is this Obamacare or is it not. There are central components of Obamacare, such as expanding Medicaid, as Michael just talked about, which is what they're doing with the private option. And when you start explaining that to Republicans and to Republican primary voters, it's very polarizing.
How do Democrats play with that political
weapon? You know, it's frustrating. You know, the Obamacare rollout was a big mess last year. But the private option has been a smashing success. We've had, 100,000 people have signed up, more adding each day. I mean, this is going to help out the working poor who can't afford health care. And it's frustrating that Obama and Obamacare politics are getting mixed up in a program that at the end of the day is going to help the people who need help the most.
Why can't Republicans explain that to voters, though, that we have taken lemons and made lemonade out of this? Why does that just not play? Because there is an argument that there's going to be a default back to some elements of Obamacare if we don't play by the waiver that we've been given to do the private option.
I think you've got to remember that the average voter out there, when they sit down at the kitchen table, they're not spending a lot of minutes or even hours talking about this. It's the 30-second soundbite of having to explain something that people can understand very simply. This is not something that you can do on a ride up an elevator. It takes a little time. It takes some understanding. And people are busy. They've got kids to take to school. I mean, they've got things that they have to do. And they see what happened with, they saw what happened with the Obamacare website rollout. I've compared that to George W. Bush's Katrina moment. Mm-hmm. It's a breakdown in leadership at the federal level. a lot of this has to go back with just what the mood of the national political environment is. It's all about what's going on in Congress. You look at congressional approvals, very low. How many average people out there actually distinguish between the Arkansas legislature and Congress?
That's a good point.
A lot of this is getting blurred. That's the unfortunate part about the politics of where we live today. But I believe that that's a lot of what's happening.
Do Democrats hope that this thing stalemates up at the state capitol and it brings a state government shutdown to Arkansas?
No, it's interesting. I think this is where the difference you see between Democrats and a lot of Republicans. At the end of the day, Democrats want to do what's right and want to help out the people who need help. You have some members of the Republican Party who just want to, you know, gum up the works, and people who need help, well, forget about them because this is going to hurt me in a primary. If I vote for something that's going to help people, it's going to hurt me. And that's what's disappointing. You do have some good people in there like Michael Lamoureux and Davy Carter who are trying to keep this situation on the right track. But then you have others who are just messing it up because it's going to hurt them politically. You know, I guess maybe I'm too much of an optimist. I wish people would do what's right first and then worry about the politics. I know that's a crazy notion in this day and age, but maybe one day we'll get there.
You can't be in politics.
You can't, exactly.
Clint, do you want to chime in on that?
I just was going to disagree a little bit. The people who disagree up at the Capitol with this notion of the private option, they do it from a standpoint of doing the right thing. They fundamentally disagree with Barack Obama's policies and what's going on in Washington. They don't believe it should be shoved down to the state and go and expand a program that they were having a hard time paying for in the first place. I mean, that's where I disagree a little bit. I don't know that they're coming at it from a standpoint of we're just here to gum up the system.
Frustrating. You have these same people who will take highway dollars from the federal government in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. You know, they're right there taking those checks and doing the photo ops. But the minute you talk about health care, oh, no, well, we can't do that. We can't take those federal dollars. So it's that there's that hypocrisy there. We'll take some federal dollars, but not all federal dollars.
How does this play out in Republican primaries? Obviously, you've got a lot of folks that voted for the private option are going to see challengers from more to the right in this. When you look at the polling, the internal polling, is that an issue that plays? Is it a defeatist issue for an incumbent?
If you look at consistent Republican primary voters, the ones that all across the state, even statewide, it's not very popular. It's not a popular initiative.
But the private option's not popular, or Obamacare's not popular?
Well, Obamacare. If you talk about Obamacare,
private option gets a little bit different results.
Well, it all depends on how you frame it. I mean, if you frame it one way, if you talk about Barack Obama's signature piece of legislation and that it expands Medicaid, and then you take that to the Republican primary electorate, it's not very popular. Look, those candidates that are out there running that voted for that, they're going to have to spend a significant amount of time explaining why this isn't Obamacare. It doesn't mean they can't do it. It just means it's going to be a tough campaign.
Let's give our roundtable a short break. When we come back, Michael Cook and Clint Reed discuss events unfolding in the governor and lieutenant governor's races. Yes, the epic Lieutenant Governor's Race. I'm Roby Brock. This is Talk Business and Politics. We're back right after this.
Talk Business Arkansas is sponsored by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. Bank of the Ozarks, you have a friend here. More information at bankozarks.com. The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, we serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. Our mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent anti-business legislation, regulations, and rules. Learn more at ArkansasStateChamber.com.
Back to our conversation with Michael Cook and Clint Reed. Michael Cook is a Democratic strategist and blogs for TalkBusiness.net. Clint Reed is a Republican strategist with the Little Rock-based firm of Impact Management Group. We regrouped to talk about the lieutenant governor's race and all of the changes and dominoes that fell this past week. All right, Michael, I'm coming to you first. We had a lot of activity in the lieutenant governor's race this week. Tim Griffin into the lieutenant governor's race.
Right.
Deborah Hobbs into the lieutenant governor's race. Charlie Collins out of the lieutenant governor's race. Do we have a battle now with Tim Griffin, the presumed nominee at this juncture, versus John Burkhalter, the Democratic nominee?
This will be, I've never thought I would say the phrase, an epic lieutenant governor's race. I think that's probably the first time in Arkansas history, because for the first time you have both the Democrat and the Republican who are going to have plenty of money and will have, you know, stories to tell on why they want to be elected to the lieutenant governor's race. I wrote a column this week for Talk Business where I talked about Tim Griffin entering this race is an earthquake. I mean, he shakes up everything. He one Republican dropped out of the primary already. Griffin does have some advantages. He has name recognition. He has fundraising ability. But he also has disadvantages. I mean, he's from the most dysfunctional and disliked institution in the country, which is the U.S. Congress. And Burkhalter will be able to tie Congressman Tim Griffin to those problems in D.C. So it's going to be, now I thought Burkhalter was heavily favored before. Now this race is now a complete toss-up.
A complete toss-up. What do you think about Griffin getting in the race? I mean, how did that kind of run through Republican circles, Clint?
Well, I think it changes the dynamic of the race for sure. I mean, I agree. Burkhalter was probably a favorite to win that seat, especially at this point in the campaign. But it changes what we're talking about with the lieutenant governor's office, all the stuff that we've dealt with in the previous administration. Look, Tim represents the 2nd Congressional District. He's been doing TV ads in this district, the Little Rock media market, which makes up about 52% of the state. He's the clear front runner. He'll raise a lot of money. If anybody knows anything about Tim Griffin, he is a tenacious campaigner. He will be able to articulate a message. He lifts everybody up on the ticket. He's going to be tough to beat.
Do we see perhaps a Tim Griffin, Asa Hutchinson ticket like we've seen with Burkhalter and Mike Ross? I'm assuming that Asa is going to give the nomination and Griffin's going to give the nomination. It'd be fair that there's other candidates there.
I believe from what I've heard is I think that Republicans talked Tim Griffin into running for this race because they needed help for Asa Hutchinson. It's not a crazy scenario. You have more Republicans turning out in the 2nd District isn't going to naturally help out Asa because the other two candidates or three candidates were just not cutting it. So, Griffin in this race, it messes up everything for a lot of people.
For Democrats. Exactly.
I'm not sure Arkansas voters like the idea of a ticket. Mm-hmm. And so, look, Asa's got to tell his story. And I think we're in the early stages of doing that. Griffin will tell his story. Obviously, Congressman Cotton's going to tell his story. I think for the most part, voters are going to look at each one of those individually and say, do they represent our values? And so it's going to be very important, I believe, for all three of those at the top of the ticket to go sell their own individual campaigns, because I think voters will judge them very independently of each other.
Question wide open for both of you. It also kind of gives some pretty strong political candidates in Tim Griffin and John Burkhalter the ability to be attack dogs in that governor's race, so that Asa might be able to elevate a little bit more, Mike Ross might be able to elevate a little bit more. Now you got some pretty strong political candidates with muscle that can come in and really kind of be like what we've seen in vice presidents in presidential elections.
Yeah,
buying into that?
I don't see it that way. I think at the end of the day, both Burkhalter and Griffin are going to have, they're going to focus on their own races, and they're going to have to define themselves, and they're going to have to define their opponent. I think both of these guys are going to have their hands full, and they won't have time to really wade into the governor's race unless there are some issues that are naturally, flowing into
right.
Lieutenant governor's race, like the private option. Where do these two gentlemen stand? Those are some things that may flow into it. But these two gentlemen, they've got to fight their own fight.
And I think the attack dogs these days have become the third party groups. We see the RGA.
Are there some third party groups?
The RGA, Americans for Prosperity, all of those organizations that I think will do the heavy lifting. And I don't necessarily see the LG's race becoming attack dogs for the gubernatorial race. I just don't buy into that.
Well, yeah. It's a great segue into our next topic, and that is we have seen the ad wars heat up a little bit this week. We saw Mike Ross go up in the month of January with a good little bio spot there, an endorsement from Governor Mike Beebe. Probably boosted his numbers a little bit. You both probably seen some internal polling that shows that it was, you know, fairly effective in that respect. Didn't move the needle much, but it moved it at some. Now you've got the Republican Governors Association coming in and throwing down on Mike Ross with their ad. I'll start with you, Clint. I mean, well, why do you think the RGA made this move now? Was it because they saw Mike Ross's numbers moving?
I suspect that they don't want any, you know, any good operative. Michael will tell you, you don't want to let the candidate define themselves too early. And so I think the RGA wants to be out there, be in the mix early. Look, they see this race as a very winnable race. There's no doubt about that. And so they're going to invest resources to make sure that that ASA wins this race. And so, you know, you're just seeing that as a byproduct of their strategy. I expect to see them on TV throughout.
Tying Mike Ross to Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama.
The Republican Governors Association had to step in. Friday of last week, a poll came out that showed Mike Ross leading for the first time in the governor's race. Monday morning, we hear that that Governors Association is buying time to attack Mike Ross. So the National Governors Association for the Republicans know that their nominee is in trouble. He's not raising any money. Mike Ross has almost about $2 million more cash on hand. He's rising in the polls, so they have to step in and prop him up. Otherwise, it can go be too far gone.
Asa Hutchinson doesn't have any money. He's got money. He's got cash on hand. Yeah,
a pitiful 1.6, but compared to 3.6 for Mike Ross, Mark Ross.
In the Brock checking account, 1.3 is still, or 1.6
right, exactly.
is still pretty good. So, well, I mean, so how does the money play out? You think it's going to be equal enough with the third-party expenditures layered on top of what the candidates raise that it's going to be an even playing field?
Make no mistake, money still matters. And money to individual candidates, it matters tremendously. You know, with the advent of all of these outside groups, I think both sides will spend money at parity. Look, these races, the LG's race, the governor's race, the Senate race, these are close races. It's a byproduct of a healthy two-party system. We'll see that throughout. If you look at the independent numbers in all three of those races, it favors Republicans. It's a byproduct of Barack Obama and his presidency. I just don't see that changing over the next 9 months. I think it's advantaged Republicans all the way to the end.
I disagree totally. on state issues, federal issues, I will say Barack Obama becomes a factor in some of these federal races. State issues, our candidates, we like to make up our own minds. We'll look at both all these candidates, and that's how we determine who, regardless who the president is.
All right. You guys want to put any predictions on the record right now? Who's going to be the next governor and lieutenant governor in the state of Arkansas, Clint?
Tim Griffin, Asa Hutchins.
Like, what would I say?
Well, you were giving Tim Griffin even odds earlier.
Deborah Hobbs is the next lieutenant governor.
I mean, you had him at even odds there earlier as a toss-up. So you're going to go Mike Ross and John Burkle?
Of course, yes.
All right. Okay. That's Clint Reed, Republican strategist with Impact Management Group, and Michael Cook, a Democratic strategist and blogger at talkbusiness.net. You can read his stuff at Cook's Outlook on our website. Well, that's all for this week's edition of Talk Business and Politics. You can drop me an email at roby@talkbusiness.net if you want to send me a line or a message. Hope that you have a busy and a productive week, and as always, we appreciate you tuning in. Until next time, take care.